Hi, how's business?
How's business?
How's business? Welcome to How's Business, a podcast on what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago, created by the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship. Today on How's Business, we're welcoming the founder of Lobstergram. Lobstergram was founded on Chicago's Northwest Side. So let's start with your name and then the name of the business that you currently operate and then also the business that you have just sold.
Okay, my name is Dan Zawacki, and the business I currently operate is called the Gourmet Marketing Group, where we are focused on helping small to mid-sized people in the food business. The company that I had before was called Lobstergram, and I started that 30 years ago in my garage in Chicago.
Could you tell me the story? We'll do Lobstergram, if you don't mind, from idea to what it looked like the day you sold.
It's really a cool story. I was living in Peoria, Illinois, and I needed to give some gifts to clients. So I tried to find someone who could ship lobsters. This is back in 1987. Nobody was shipping seafood at the time. You could get steaks from Omaha Steaks, and that was about it. And I thought it was a great idea. So I talked to some wholesalers in Maine, and they said, that's stupid. No one's ever going to want that. So what I did is I bought 100 pounds of lobster, shipped it to Peoria, and then I put them in the trunk of my car, and I would open the trunk of my car, put two lobsters in a jewel bag with a stick of butter and a lemon, and I'd give them to my clients and say, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, thank you for your business, and that was it. And a couple people actually wrote me letters and said, thank you. That was one of the coolest gifts I ever got. So I thought, wow, maybe I could start a company. And I was 24 at the time. I have no wife.
No liabilities.
Liabilities, mortgages, you know all that stuff. And so I tried to do both at the same time, which I found was really difficult. I was able to get on a radio station in Chicago and promote it. Unfortunately or fortunately, my boss's boss was in a taxi and heard me, and I told my boss in Peoria that I was going to be making cold calls that day in Springfield, Illinois. Up until that time, I sold maybe 10 packages. I was on the air and sold 180 packages. Well, afterwards, I go back to my office in Peoria. My boss calls me in his office and basically says, you're fired. So then I was like, wow, now I have to be an entrepreneur. I had lived in Chicago, so my mom said, hey, come back, and you can have your old bedroom, and your dad, he'll park the car on the street, and you can have half the garage. And I said, hey, why not? Low overhead. And that's how Lobstergram started.
What was your journey like from that time to it growing to be a sustainable company for, 30 years?
I started it with $1,000 in savings. And one of my big things was to make sure that you didn't run out of money. So what I did was every dollar I made, I would invest it back into the company.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally did not pay myself for almost 4 years.
Wow.
So I did a lot of side jobs. I mean, I was 27 years old and I'm sitting there cutting people's grass, taking the leaves out, their gutters, I'd do anything. And at the time, the state had this, for a 1% down, you could buy a house and for a first-time buyer. So I was able to take advantage of that, and that's where I lived in one flat, rented out a flat, and used the basement as my office / distribution center. And then I had this big 2.5-car garage with a lobster tank and a freezer, and that's where I shipped everything out of. And after that, I found a place in Mayfair Park, and we had a lot of really famous people that were customers of ours. Governor Blagojevich was a customer. Governor Ryan was. Senator Durbin.
So what does it mean to you to run your own business and to be working for yourself?
Well, I never started it to be an entrepreneur. I didn't really know any entrepreneurs. It's very hard work. People talk about a life balance. Your first 4 or 5 years, there is no life balance. I mean, I literally remember not going on vacation for 4 years and working 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to late at night. Somebody had to answer the phones because you never knew when there was going to be an order. I found one of the very difficult things was hiring good people. I didn't have a process to do that. I think the biggest thing is you have to have a great story. And you have to tell that story to your employees. And you have to build a great culture and values. If people don't have the values that you want for your company, then, you know, it's kind of like, you know, slow to hire, fast to fire.
Yeah. We work with a lot of small businesses who have always wanted to run their own company, but realize they'd never been a manager before.
And that's the reason why I started the Gourmet Marketing Group, is because people have these great ideas. They're passionate, but they don't know how to build a leadership team. They don't know what numbers that they need to monitor to see if their business is healthy. And quite frankly, it's not healthy to work 70 hours a week.
So it sounds like you had a pretty robust food business operating in Chicago for over 30 years. Can you tell me about some of the challenges of maintaining a food business, particularly one that's sending food that could be potentially hazardous and might have a lot of regulation attached to it?
Make sure you have good insurance agents because of the liability factors out there. I think the other thing is take care of a problem before it becomes huge. For instance, if somebody says, I sent them out some lobsters in the cooler and FedEx messed it up and it took a week, you know, by that time the lobsters are going to be pretty darn stinky. So our thing was a happiness guarantee, 100% happiness. Send them out the new package, everybody's happy, as opposed to people, you know, threatening to sue you or whatever it might be. Good customer service is something that eliminates a lot of challenges. Some of the other challenges that I think we had is we never really knew if we were always in compliance with the city because there was so many rules. We always tried to. We always thought we did. But I remember one time we just forgot to renew our city license. And if someone would have sent us an email or something just saying, hey, your license is expiring, it would have taken care of it. But instead, you were supposed to remember that and a million of the other things with it.
How important is it to you that your business was based in Chicago? Like, you might have had an opportunity throughout the history of it to move it to a suburb. What made you make the decision to keep your operations in Chicago?
Well, there's two answers. One, my wife didn't want to move. Two, that we were shipping packages next day and 2 day air. And Chicago's right in the middle of the country. So we were able to save literally hundreds of thousands of dollars shipping product out of Chicago.
Can you tell me a little bit about your experience working with Chicago city government? You talked a little bit about wanting to make sure you were always in compliance, but not necessarily knowing how to have all of those boxes checked. Tell me a little bit more.
Yeah, I think once you found the right person to talk to, I found them to always be fairly helpful. It wasn't always easy finding that right person. And we would also have yearly food safety inspections from the health department. And, you know, it's always a scary part because they could close you down right away. But what I found is that if something was wrong, I mean, unless it was horrible wrong, you know, where people are going to be, you know, sick, they would help you and tell you, hey, you know, you might want to, you know, keep this off the floor 3 inches or whatever. And so that it was not like a power kind of a deal, but like, hey, here's a better way, you know, to do this. You should do it this way. They wanted to teach you as opposed to bust you.
And if you could use one word to describe what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago, what one word would that be?
I would say entrepreneurial.
Entrepreneurial?
Yes. I think with all these hubs that the Senator Durbin and Mayor Emanuel have put money as well as their time behind has really made Chicago like the Silicon Valley of food. And that's why I'm continuously staying in the food business. And you get to eat good too. So.
Yep. And if you could give Mayor Emanuel one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be?
My advice would be to please keep helping small to mid-size business, not just the entrepreneur just starting out, but don't forget about the small to mid-sized people that have 10, 20, 50 employees. The one big thing I think that is out there, and it's kind of something that people don't talk about, is ageism. I mean, you got hubs for entrepreneurs. We need one for the seasoned people out there.
And then is there anything else that you feel is important to share about your business or your experience as a business owner?
I'm just grateful that I've been able to call my own shots for 30 years, that I was able to build a market, and I've had some fantastic employees that I'm very grateful for, that I could never thank them enough.
Who knew that getting fired would be such a fantastic thing for your life?
Yeah.
Since 1998, the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship has provided free legal assistance, support, and advocacy for low-income entrepreneurs in Chicago. The IJ Clinic also trains University of Chicago law students to be vigorous and creative advocates for entrepreneurs. For more information, visit www.housebusinessshy.com.